إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، today I want to remind myself and you about the importance of removing ghaflat, removing ghafla from our hearts, of the importance of living thoughtfully, the importance of living with awareness. The hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that the outcome of the deed, the reward of the deed, is based on the intention. If you think about this, this is a beautiful teaching which focuses on the importance of living with awareness. Because before we do anything, the Rasulullah ﷺ is advising us to do it consciously, to do it with a specific intention. The benefit of doing something with a specific intention is that it makes you aware of what you are doing, it brings your thought to why you are doing it, and what is the consequence of that. So therefore, awareness is of two kinds. One is in terms of the here and now, what am I doing now? And the second level of awareness is with regard to the consequence, the result of what I am doing. And both of these are intended when we say that we need to live in a state which has no ghaflat in it. Now in the Quran, there are many, many places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned things and He says, لَعَيَاتٍ لِخَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, that in this there are signs for people who think, people who reflect, قَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, people who have sense, who have understanding, لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for people who have, and again, understanding, intelligence. So there is constant focus on using that intelligence, on living intelligently, on living not living in a state of ghaflat, not living in a state of heedlessness. If we see the gist of what Rasulullah ﷺ taught the Sahaba, it was this. He did not change materially anything with them, but he just drew their attention to the fact that their actions do not end with this world, but that those actions have an effect in the hereafter. Whatever the action is, the action has an effect here and it has an effect in the hereafter. So also, even when we do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that zikr again, we must do it with awareness. For example, when we do the zikr of Tasbih Fatimi, which is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. When we say Subhanallah, it should not simply be counting 33 times, no. The idea is to say Subhanallah and think of the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how it reflects in our life. And when we say Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise and all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see and we think of what we are thanking Allah for. Why are we thanking Allah? How is the glory of Allah and how are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reflected in my life as I sit here? Thinking consciously about that. And when we say Allahu Akbar, we remove everything else from our hearts. And we say Allahu Akbar, no one is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beauty of thankfulness is, again, thankfulness is a result of awareness. Thankfulness is a result of lack of ghaflat, a result of lack of heedlessness, of living thoughtfully. And the beauty of thankfulness is that thankfulness increases the sweetness of what we have. Thankfulness increases the enjoyment of what we have. The same thing which we might think it as routine, but if you just go back, for example, if we go back now to our homes and we just stop for a minute, and we say, Alhamdulillah, I am so thankful to Allah that I am living in a country and I am living in a home where I can go to sleep peacefully. I don't have to worry about crime. I don't have to worry about who can enter my house and who can steal my things or who can slaughter me or kill me or, you know, do something, do harm to me. I don't have to worry about that. Right? Inshallah, I am living in a country where I am safe. Alhamdulillah. What is the value of that? Does that have any value for us? Think about this. Just think about this. We live heedlessly. I mean, how many times did we thank Allah? Ya Allah, Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks to you that I can live safely. Have we thanked Allah for this? Did we do that yesterday, today? Did we do that in Tahajjud today? When was the last time we thanked? Or did we ever thank Allah at all? Because Allah kept us in a place where this thought need not come to us. Because there is no one. We are living in a country where, I'm not saying there is no crime, but the crime is not, we don't have a sort of high level of violent crime. It is not there. We are not living in a country which is occupied by invaders. You want to know the value of just going to your house and sleeping peacefully? Ask the people in Palestine. Ask the people in Syria today. Ask the people in Egypt. Ask the people in Iraq. Ask the people in Afghanistan. What is the value of just peacefully going home and going to sleep? Ask the people who have to take all kinds of precautions. Double gates and this and that and electric fences and burglar alarms and all kinds of stuff. Just to live in the house. Maybe that guy drives a Mercedes and maybe you drive a Toyota. But I tell you, your Toyota is worth 10 times his Mercedes. Because his Mercedes, he's not sure whether it will be there or not tomorrow. But your Toyota, you know, the Toyota will die of old age before you die. If you don't replace it. What is the value of this? This is the meaning of living with awareness. Living with awareness. This is the meaning. Now, if you think about this, if you go and thank Allah, how much you will enjoy simply being in your house. How much you will enjoy simply sleeping on your bed. Now, just like that. You have not done anything. You have not spent any money. You have not gone to Switzerland for a holiday. Nothing. In your own bed. How much you will enjoy sleeping, just sleeping in that bed, if you do that with thankfulness and say, oh Allah, I thank you that I can sleep peacefully. I thank you that I can take my car and I can go to the market, I can buy something, I can go somewhere, entertainment, friends, whatever it is, and come back home. And my wife is not worrying whether my husband has gone now, will he come back? She's not worried. She's that thought itself doesn't enter her mind. Is there a value for this? I have my children who are going to school and college and here and there. And the mother and the father, the thought itself doesn't enter their mind. My child has gone out. Will I ever see my child again? I'm not fantasizing. These are living realities of people not in one godforsaken place. This is the living reality of people in many, many countries in the world. Many countries in the world. And many of those people, materially, in terms of bank balance, in terms of the kind of car and so on, they might have more than you. They might have more than you. No doubt about that. But you decide whether you want to exchange your peace of mind for that car or for that whatever money that there is. Think about that. Wherever I travel, I see so many things. What is the value of that peace of mind? That is the meaning of living with thoughtfulness, living without heedlessness. And this comes from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This comes from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, as we know, in two ways. One is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting Quran or Salah or any of the ibadat or zikr of Allah. And the second one is by living according to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not, you know, just walking around with a tasbih, and then the eyes are looking at stuff which you are not, which you shouldn't be seeing. And you are doing things which you are telling lies or ghibat or whatever, the tasbih in the hand, the tasbih is, you know, some people have this, tasbih is a fashion. You walk around with a tasbih in your hand. It's not a good thing, incidentally, to do that, because apart from anything else, there is a great danger of riya, of showing the world, oh, the holy man is walking around with this beads in his hand. Huh? Why? First of all, why do you need that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep count. Don't worry about it. You don't have to count. Huh? Even if you have the tasbih, if I ask you how many times did you do dhikr, can you tell me? No, most people cannot tell you. But they walk around with all those counters and stuff for what? Allah will keep count. You concentrate on the quality of that dhikr. That if you say that subhanallah once, with the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is better than walking around with the tasbih all day, spinning it. Makes no sense. Yeah? And as I said, it's a great danger of riya, of showing off to people, and in which case all that tasbih is worthless anyway. So awareness, living with awareness. When we stand in salah, before you make the, as our part of the niyat of salah, is be aware, I am standing, where am I standing, what am I standing here to do, who am I standing in front of. And then we make the niyah of salah. And then we start the salah. And so also with all our actions. All our actions. It's not my intention to list everything. Every action. That we do it with the awareness of what we are doing. I want to end with a story about this, about from the Sahaba, of people who understood this. A man came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me some money. I am a very poor man. I have nothing. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent him to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. By the time this man reached Sayyidina Uthman's house, it was getting dark. So as he was about to knock on the door, he heard Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu speaking to his wife from inside the house. And he said to her, lower the wick of the lamp because it burns too much oil. So this man thought to himself, where did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam send me? Yeah? This man is asking his wife to lower the wick of the lamp because it burns too much oil. What will he give me? Yeah, he looks like a very stingy man. What will he give me? So he didn't even knock on the door. He turned around and walked away. Then when he went a little distance, he thought to himself, well, you know, maybe Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows the man better than me. Otherwise, why did he send me here? And anyway, what do I have to lose? Let me knock on the door and ask him. I'm talking about living with awareness, doing what you are doing consciously. So the man knocked on the door, says, Uthman radiallahu anhu opened the door. The man said, Salam, and he said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent me to you. I am a poor man. I have nothing, so please give me something. So Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu told him, you wait. He went inside, brought a bunch of keys, took the man to his warehouse. He opened the warehouse and he told the man, take whatever you want and when you finish, lock up the place and give me the keys. Then he turned around and was going back. This man was absolutely astonished. So he called out to him. So Sayyidina Uthman said, yes, what do you want? He said, I have a question. He said, what's the question? He said, just a little while ago, I overheard you telling your wife to lower the wick of the lamp because it burns too much of oil. Now when I ask you to give me something, you open the warehouse and you tell me, take whatever you want, as much as you want. And you are not even standing there to see what I am taking. How do you reconcile these two things? So Sayyidina Uthman said, why are you so puzzled? It's very simple. He said that oil is my personal property, which I am spending on myself, for which Allah will ask me account. This I am spending for the path of Allah, for which Allah will give me account. Allah will give me reward for this. So that I am concerned about, because I have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you burn so much of oil? Whereas this one, Allah is the one who is going to give me reward. So the more you take, the better for me. Living with awareness. Now, they didn't just do things. They knew why they were doing what they were doing. So what is Sayyidina Uthman? Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu is saying in our modern language, he is saying that oil is expense. This charity is investment. Expense has no return. Investment has return. So he says, minimize the expense, maximize the investment, because investment will give me return. So I remind myself and you, let us look at our own lives and see how much of expense we have and how much of investment we have. Because expenses we have to give account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Investment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward for it. Allah will tell us, this is what you spent, here is the reward. Minimum 1:10. Minimum is 1000%. 10 times is what? 1000%. Minimum. That's the absolute basic minimum. But to be able to do that, we have to understand. That is where awareness comes. Are we aware of what does 1:10 mean? We have heard this. I am not talking rocket science. I mean, we have heard this a million times. But has it gone inside? Because if I know that I am going to get 1000% investment, yeah, if I knew that there was a IPO that is going to happen today and it will close by tonight, and the following day we are going to get a return on that, and the capitalization of that thing is 10 times. That means 1000% return on that investment. I will bet you, we will go, we will sell our house, we will sell our car, we will take our wife's jewelry and hawk it, and we will put everything, including the shirt on the back, onto that IPO. Yes or no? Because you will say, what is it? One day I wait and I get 10 times this. I'll buy 10 houses. Why? Because that reality of that thing we understand. We understand the reality of an IPO. We understand the reality of buying shares. We understand reality of buying gold. We understand the reality of buying real estate. Even in a down market, when do you buy? You buy when the market is down. The signs are what? Signs are not good. But why do you buy? You say, no, now is the time to buy. Why? No, it will go up. How do you know it will go up? If somebody asks that question, how do you know it will go up? You will look at the man as if he is a fool. You say, how can you ask a question like that? नहीं है कि नहीं वैसे सवाल करने वाले को हम क्या बेवकूफ है पागल दीवाना आदमी मालूम नहीं उसको जमीन कीमत बढ़ती बढ़ेंगी साहब होता है कैसा बढ़ती कैसा मालूम बढ़ता है दीवाने कह रहे हो ऐसे क्या बात कर कैसा बढ़ती क्या बात बोलते नहीं बोलते क्योंकि उसका वो द प्राइस द लैंड प्राइस विल गो अप हैज बीन ड्रिल्ड इन टू अस has been drilled into us, and we believe that with complete yakin, real estate is the investment. You put money into land, has to go up. Allah did not promise that. The Nabi of Allah did not promise. Nobody promised it. But that thing is inside us. What Allah promised, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشَرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Allah said, one person comes to me with one good deed, I will give him 10 likewise. I will give him 10 like that. You know the words. We know how to recite it properly with tajweed. But we don't have the reality of that in our hearts. We ask Allah to protect us from this. Because this is the whole point of Islam is this. Live thoughtfully. Whatever you are doing, we know why I am doing it. One of my teachers used to say, when you make wudu, don't just make wudu, niyat, I make wudu. No. Ask Allah, make dua, oh Allah, I am making this wudu. Wash away my sins. This is ibadah, give me reward for this wudu. He's making wudu, he's making a dua for the wudu. Give me reward for this wudu. I am making this wudu for salah, purify my salah. Beautify my salah. Give me the tawfiq and the ability to actually do salah. What is the guarantee? You make wudu and then maybe you don't pray. Allah Alam, something happens in between. I'm not saying you die with them. No, you don't die, but something happens. Somebody comes, takes you away somewhere, go on. You make the wudu with all of this. Just ordinary thing of making wudu. So I remind myself and you, let us try to live our lives, inshallah. We ask Allah to make it easy to live our lives in a state of constant awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last and final thing is that when we are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us all the time, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is with you wherever you are. If we live with that awareness, then how can we have any fear in our hearts? There cannot be any fear. Allah is with me. Saves you in two ways. One is it takes away all the fear of everything else. I cannot be afraid if I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. No. The point is to know. Not just know as in, you know, theory. No. Actual awareness. Istihzarul ilm. Actual awareness. One is takes away all fear. Secondly, it keeps us safe from sin. Because the one who is aware, Allah is with me. How can he watch some nonsense on television? Tell me. How can he watch something haram on internet? How can he listen to something which he knows is prohibited? Allah is with me. Allah is with me. How can that person lie or cheat or do ghibat or black backbiting or slandering or... How can that person commit a sin? If you are committing a sin, it means that Allah is with me is not real for me. Not real for me. No son or daughter who has any manners at all, I mean absolutely if you have grown up in the gutter, we don't know, but I'm saying if you have grown up in any house with any culture, no son or daughter will strike, will light a cigarette in front of their father or mother. We have taken the effect of Western civilization has gone to such a point today that the father probably lights a cigarette for the son. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about decent people. Even if the boy or the girl, even if they smoke, they'll smoke somewhere else, but they will not smoke in front of their parents. Why? Because the father is sitting here, a mother is sitting here. How can I smoke in front of them? It's a, you know, dirty thing. He knows it is dirty, he will do it somewhere else. He knows it is haram, but he still does it. Or maybe he's mistaken or he's confused, whatever. But in front of the parents, he will not do it. There was a friend of ours who used to say, she used to tell her, the mother used to tell the children, that if you ever want to know if you are what you are doing is right or wrong, just imagine you are doing it in front of me. Yeah, the mother used to say this. If you want to know if something is right or wrong, imagine you are doing it in front of me. If you can still do it, then you do it. No problem. What about in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah said this. What I recited for you is ayat of the Quran. It's not my, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying Allah is with you. No, Allah himself said this. So the awareness that Allah is with me gives us these two enormous benefits. One, it gives us complete peace of mind. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. How can anything bad happen? How can anyone harm me? How can anything, why should I be afraid of it? No. Complete peace of mind. Total peace of mind. And secondly, that's the meaning of Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. How does the itminan al-qalb, how does it come? Because of this awareness, Allah is with me. Has to have itminan al-qalb. And the second one is, keeps us safe from sin. The benefit of awareness, of not having ghafla, is that we are safe from sin. The fact, Allah is with me, I cannot commit any sin, no problem, no, not possible. How can it be? It's not possible, not doable. And that's why we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us in a constant state of awareness of His presence, of awareness that Allah is with us, so that we are constantly thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which increases our own enjoyment of what Allah has given us, which gives us complete peace of mind, and which keeps us safe from sin. So inshallah, we then have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him, which is a matter of complete certainty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all that is displeasing to Him, and to make it easy for us to do all that is pleasing to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.